Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A mentor with the Ocean County Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. If you're like many small business owners, the words data breach make you think of the highly publicized incidents. You know, the ones involving large corporations that have gotten a lot of attention from the media, such as in May of 2021, security researchers discovered the personal data of more than 100 million Android users exposed due to several misconfigurations of cloud services. Unprotected in real-time databases used by 23 apps, the downloads ranged from 10,000 to 10 million and included internal developer resources. In June of 2021, data associated with 700 million LinkedIn users was posted for sale in a dark web forum. This exposure impacted 92% of the total LinkedIn user base of 756 million users. In August of 2021, T-Mobile experienced yet another data breach. According to reports, the names, addresses, social security numbers, driver's licenses, IMEI and IMSI numbers, and ID information of customers were compromised. It is possible that approximately 50 million existing and prospective customers were impacted. A 21-year-old took responsibility for the attack. And in September of 2021, U.S.-based retailer Neiman Marcus confirmed in a statement that an unauthorized party accessed sensitive customer information, including usernames, passwords, security questions, and financial information. 2021 was a record-breaking year for data breaches. According to Identity Theft Resource Center, ITRC research, the total number of data breaches through September 30th of 2021 had already exceeded the total number of events in 2020 by 17%. With 1,291 breaches in 2021 compared to 1,108 breaches in 2020. What rarely makes the news are the many hacking incidents involving small businesses. The likelihood that a small business will fall victim to potentially costly data breach is staggeringly high. The fact is that 63% of small and medium-sized businesses reported an incident in 2019. In the two prior years, 58% reported an incident in 2018 and 54% in 2017. Unfortunately, the underreporting of small business data breaches is likely the primary reason that most small business owners don't believe they're at risk for a cyber attack. In fact, 82% of small business owners say they're not targets for attacks. Not only are these attacks incredibly common, but they can also be devastating. The average cost of a data breach is around $4 million. So it's easy to understand why 60% of small businesses fold within 6 months of falling victim to data theft. This cost doesn't even factor in the significant additional and unavoidable costs of investigating and remediating a data breach. It can take a considerable amount of money to make the necessary security upgrades to technology. That cost will also include a plan to execute a communication strategy to restore a business's reputation after a data breach. According to a Ponemon Institute study, 57% of customers who received notices of the breach said they had lost trust and confidence in the business. Even worse, 31% said they ended their relationship with the data breach business. It's important for business owners to understand that in the event of a data breach, few customers or potential customers will see the business as a victim. Instead, they'll see the business as untrustworthy and unprofessional. According to Visa, the customer perspective is, I gave my information to you, you exposed, lost it, and now it's your fault. Period. Here's the bottom line. Any small business could be the target of data breach. If the attack is successful, the odds are heavily weighted towards the business going under as a result. A data breach could leave a small business owner facing perhaps hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees. Luckily, there are steps business owners can take to mitigate the risk of a data breach and help avoid the damage that would likely follow. What I hope to do in the time remaining is to explain the common risks that data breaches pose to small businesses. In subsequent shows, I will try to explain the precautionary measures one can take to help prevent the data breach and steps a small business owner can take to help minimize the damage after a data breach has occurred. Before I continue, let me tell you, I'm not a data breach specialist. Everything you will hear has been culled through research. This information is available on the internet. I've just pulled it together for you. So, what are the common risks a data breach poses to a small business? First, small businesses are a hacker's preferred target for data theft because small businesses typically have lax security standards. Many small businesses don't monitor server networks and data on a regular basis. Most small businesses assume they won't be attacked. Few small businesses have an IT specialist or department. Many small business owners and employees operate on unsecure Wi-Fi, and most small businesses don't train employees on cybersecurity best practices. The fallout from a data breach can be devastating to a small business. Remember what I said earlier? 60% of small businesses that fall prey to data theft close within 6 months. Businesses that are victims of a data breach can be required to take time-consuming and expensive actions, including hiring a private firm to perform a mandatory forensic examination, providing credit monitoring services to affected customers, vendors, and employees, and paying liability fraud charges and payment credit card industry compliance fees. These are in addition to coming up with a communications plan and the resources required to repair the damage to their brand. Possibly most devastating of all is that after a breach, businesses may not be able to accept credit card transactions until after the breach has been identified, investigated, and remediated. This means a business might not be able to accept credit card payments for possibly several weeks or even months. For businesses that depend on credit card transactions for the bulk of their payment, this is a serious threat to their survival. Here's a look at what businesses could go through after a data breach occurs. A mandatory forensic audit. In the event that a small business triggers a warning that they've been breached, the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard, PCI-DSS, requires an audit by a third-party PCI-DSS security examiner. The security examiner's role is to inspect and review the company's business practices, habits, transactions, and security procedures to try to establish if, when, and where there was a data breach. This forensic audit can take a couple of days or up to several weeks, during which time the business being audited can expect the following. A complete review of its security policy. You do have a security policy, don't you? Security weakness tests for every computer, server, and network connection the company uses to conduct business. Manual inspection of all virus and security software to ensure that they are up to date and properly installed. Wireless network testing to see if any unauthorized computers are accessing a business's wireless network. Phone line security testing to ensure that there are no listening modems or other security threats on the business's phone lines. Then there's also credit and identity monitoring for affected customers. If a customer's information is stolen in a data breach, there's a chance that their credit score will be negatively impacted. Even though the customer is technically not at fault, it can still be very difficult for them to clear their credit score. Sometimes it can take several years to get the score back to where it was. There's also the possibility of customers becoming victims of identity theft. If a customer's information, such as a social security number, is stolen in a breach, the customer will likely want to monitor for signs of possible identity violation, such as a sudden change in arrest or driving records. Most hackers who commit data breaches are aware of the standard one-year time frame for credit and identity theft monitoring after a breach. That is why, in the case of identity theft, it's not uncommon for hackers to wait several years before using stolen data like social security numbers. It's important to mention that credit and identity theft monitoring for affected customers isn't legally required for the company that's been involved in a data breach. Still, it's something that often is provided by companies after a breach has occurred and customers are beginning to expect it. By not providing these services to customers, you set yourself up for an even bigger struggle when it comes to reestablishing your company's reputation. And there also is liability fraud charges. There's some debate over who's responsible for the damages that are incurred as a result of a data breach. It's possible for businesses to be held liable for the fraudulent charges that were made with stolen customer credit card information. For many businesses without adequate insurance, these liability fraud charges could be great enough to destroy them. When Target had a data breach in 2013, a lawsuit was filed with an estimated $1 billion in remediation costs. And you need updating of your point of sale systems. Once a business suffers a data breach, chances are the business will need to update or completely replace its point of sale system. The PCI DSS may remove the business's ability to handle any credit card transactions until such upgrades are in place. Not only can this be costly and look bad, but it can render a business incapable of handling transactions for several days to possibly months. So, what types of attacks can a small business expect? There are 3.5 new cybersecurity threats created every second. It seems like any form of online transaction leaves businesses open to bombardment by thousands of different cyber attacks. It's imperative that small business owners gain familiarity with the common types of cyber attacks being perpetrated. These attacks can range from online advertisements that install malicious code into a computer, password cracking schemes that allow access to an entire computer network, to sophisticated multidimensional attacks that scrape information from a business's point-of-sale software database, and more. Some of the most common are malware. Malware is a broad term used to describe malicious software designed to gain access or cause damage to a computer. Rarely is malware created just to cause damage. Often, it's an insidious attack that gains access to a computer in order to steal data such as personal information and credit cards. There are several types of malware that business owners need to know about. There's adware. This type of malware comes bundled with free or pirated versions of software. The adware is designed to launch advertisements and pop-up ads on websites that the affected computer goes on. Often advertisers sponsor it as a means of generating traffic and revenue. These advertisements can be a nuisance and slow down performance of a computer. It's common for adware to be bundled with spyware. Now, spyware, this is a malicious software that spies on the activities of the infected computer without the user's knowledge. It monitors users' activity on the computer to see what files are opened, the websites visited, and the types of data being stored. Spyware also records the keystrokes and the data that's displayed and saved. Recording keystrokes is one way that spyware can open up gateways to larger hacking and data breach attacks. Spyware can also perform additional malicious activities and functions, including lowering security settings and disrupting network connections. And there's also Trojan horses, also simply known as Trojans. This type of malware has the appearance of a normal file or computer application, but when downloaded, it gives the third party remote access to the user's computer. Once access is achieved, the third party can harvest passwords, identification data, financial records, and other sensitive information. Trojans can also alter computer settings to reduce security and allow access for the installation of even more malware. And then there are password attacks. A password attack is like a modern-day digital lock pick. There are several methods that hackers use to increase the likelihood of learning someone's password. These include guessing based on researching the person they're attempting to hack, or running a dictionary attack, or something called a brute force attack. One of the earliest techniques for cracking passwords was simply guessing. It may sound overly simple, but it only takes a hacker 5 minutes to hack a lowercase-only password with 6 characters or fewer. For slightly more complex passwords, a hacker may use a dictionary-like program that automatically guesses password options. This dictionary list may consist of actual words in the English dictionary or some of the most common passwords. Most people assume that their password is unique, But in reality, nearly 75% of the internet population uses passwords that are listed in the top 500 most common passwords. As security protocols for passwords have increased, so too has the sophistication of the software that hackers use to discover them. Something called a brute force attack uses every combination of letters, symbols, and numbers and attempts to guess the password. The simpler a password is, the easier it is for the brute force attack software to guess it. An 8-character password containing both upper and lowercase letters can take about 4 months to crack. When character count is increased to 10 upper and lowercase letters, it can take over 100 years to crack. Because of how long it can take to crack more complex passwords, a new method of hacking was created where victims unknowingly give hackers their password. This technique is called phishing. Phishing emails are sent by malicious users in an attempt to gain information such as a credit card number, social security numbers, home address, or passwords. The way it works is the malicious user sends an email in the guise of a reputable source. They claim that the recipient of the email must follow a link included in the email. The recipient clicks on the link and then shares sensitive data. For example, in 2003, there was a prevalent phishing scheme that posed as an automated email from eBay. It informed users that their accounts were about to be suspended if they didn't update their credit card information. The email contained a link that the user was supposed to follow. Clicking on the link, they would then be taken to a screen where they could update their credit card information. The email itself looks similar to an eBay notification, replicating color and language used by the eBay brand. The web page that users landed on after clicking on the link also closely resembled eBay's website. It was easy for an unsuspecting user to fall for the ruse and input their credit card information. Today, phishing techniques have become far more sophisticated. With the emergence of social media, most people have some form of their identity posted online. For professionals or members of LinkedIn, that information can include their employer, employee email, employee phone number, employment history, and vendors with whom they work. From that information, a malicious user can conduct a phishing email by posing as a vendor that an employee has worked with. To gain trust, the phisher references specific details, like the employee's name and phone number. The malicious user then requests information that, to the victim, makes sense for a vendor to request. Sometimes the phisher may falsely pose as a vendor. They would notify the recipient that a payment wasn't correctly transferred, then request financial information, such as a credit card number or bank account, to correct the transaction. Then there's something called farming. Farming is even a more sophisticated malicious technique being used to gain confidential data. With farming, the naming system in a server is hacked so that the users think they're accessing legitimate sites when they're actually being redirected to fraudulent ones. Once on the fraudulent site, users are prompted to provide sensitive data such as credit card information or social security numbers. And there is something called drive-by downloads. Most business owners believe that as long as they're not downloading anything from unsecure websites, they can't contract a computer virus or some other form of malware. Unfortunately, drive-by downloads make it possible for websites to upload small bits of malicious code onto a user's computer. The small bit of code then contacts the malicious server that installs even more powerful malicious software onto the end user's computer. All the while, the end user is unaware that any of this is happening. These drive-by downloads often result in standard malware programs being installed. They will then alter security settings to open up the computer to future attacks. These alterations will also steal important information such as credit card numbers, passwords, and user activity habits. Drive-by downloads aren't exclusive to computers. They can also infect smartphones and tablets. Additionally, drive-by downloads can be combined with phishing techniques and advertisements placed on a reputable website for a devastating multi-pronged attack. This can happen through a standard phishing email or an advertisement that directs recipients to a website infected with a drive-by download. In case of the advertisements, it's very common for smartphone users to accidentally click on an advertisement when scrolling on a website, thus activating the malicious drive-by download. And the last one I'll talk about is point-of-sale system hacking. Point-of-sale hacking of businesses has received a lot of attention from the media. A point-of-sale attack involves hackers scraping the data that is stored at the endpoint of a point-of-sale terminal, like when a credit card is swiped at a store register. This data is vulnerable only for a microsecond before it becomes encrypted. In that microsecond, hackers are able to steal it, send it to several servers, and then retrieve it. The reason hackers send it to several terminals is because it makes it much more difficult to trace the culprit. Worst of all is that a point-of-sale terminal can be infected with malicious software for months before being discovered. So how do point-of-sale terminals become infected? By any number of means I previously talked about. All that it takes is for one source of malicious software to gain access to part of a business's server, computer system, or network. Once there, it begins searching to gain access to the point-of-sale terminal. Something as simple as a phishing email could be the start of a malicious process that ultimately leads to a virus infecting a point-of-sale terminal. It's important to remember that huge companies such as Target and Home Depot spend millions on security and still succumb to data breach attacks. So it stands to reason that small businesses are even more vulnerable and should work to beef up their precautionary measures every chance they get. Big box stores may make for a huge profit for hackers, but those attacks require much effort and sophistication. Small businesses, on the other hand, are far more accessible, low-hanging fruit, and offer hackers quick wins. So what are some of the security mistakes that most businesses make? The following is a list of the more common mistakes made by small businesses that leave them vulnerable. Not creating timed logouts. Poor password standards. Using outdated software. Trusting public Wi-Fi. Not encrypting data before storing it in the cloud. Not creating a security policy. Not updating point-of-sale systems. Not providing locks for devices. And poor bring-your-own-device policies. Let's take a closer look at each of these mistakes. Not creating timed logouts. There's a reason why online banking websites quickly log out inactive users. Leaving an unattended device or computer logged into a secure database or website greatly increases the likelihood of malicious or detrimental use. The most obvious risk is that anyone who walks by the unattended computer can access critical software and data. This could be a malicious employee or even a customer. A lesser known risk is something called a man-in-the-middle attack or side-jacking. This involves a user logging into an online platform or application and the hacker impersonating the user by gaining access to the session cookie. From there, the hacker is able to interact with the online platform as if he was the user. Timed logouts can help reduce the risk of these attacks because they can end a session and the hacker's chance of gaining access and retrieving data. Poor password standards. This ranks as one of the top security mistakes business owners make. It can involve any of the following. Passwords shorter than 8 digits. Passwords that don't have various cases, numbers, and symbols. Using the same password for multiple platforms and applications. Using a password that's based on a personal hobby or interest. Reusing an old password after an automated password update, following a common format of uppercase letters, lowercase letters, and then numbers, not changing passwords regularly, not using a password manager, and using one-part authentication as opposed to two-part authentication. Using outdated software. Because they know every aspect of their current software inside and out, business owners and employees might be reluctant to update software and programs. Unfortunately, the longer a program exists after its release, the more time hackers have to find all the vulnerabilities and loopholes in that program. At some point, most software companies will cease to support, update, and patch outdated versions of their programs and software. This is when the software becomes even more risky to use. Hackers take advantage knowing that anyone still using the outdated software is vulnerable to certain attacks. Hackers may even create easy-to-use kits to help others launch attacks at anyone still using the outdated software. Trusting public Wi-Fi. Just because a public Wi-Fi source is password protected doesn't mean it's secure. Basically, there is no security if a person simply has to go up to the counter at a coffee shop to find out the Wi-Fi password. Using a network that's shared by multiple people, especially people you don't know, opens you up to huge security problems. Not a lot of skill is required for a hacker who's sharing a Wi-Fi network with you. They can easily hack into and monitor all the data that you're transferring over the internet. Hackers can also easily gain access to your computer and upload malicious software while sharing a Wi-Fi network. In addition to the dangers of using public Wi-Fi sources, you may also be duped into using a hacker's hotspot. Sometimes, hackers will open a Wi-Fi hotspot of their own in a gathering place like a coffee shop. They then name the Wi-Fi hotspot something similar to the coffee shop's name. Unsuspecting users who log on to this hotspot essentially give the hacker access to all of their information. Not encrypting data before it's stored in the cloud. When data is placed in cloud storage, it's automatically encrypted by the storage provider. When it's accessed by the owner via password, the cloud storage provider decrypts the data. Unfortunately, this data is far more vulnerable than most users are led to believe. Most of the time, when personal photos of celebrities are leaked, it's because the celebrity's cloud storage account has been hacked. In other words, someone else hacked the account password and downloaded the data. Even though the data had been encrypted, the cloud storage provider decrypts it, believing the malicious hacker is the appropriate user. Failing to encrypt the data before loading it into a cloud storage platform is one of the most common mistakes business owners make when trying to secure data. One of the easiest ways for a hacker to gain access to a user's cloud storage is with sidejacking or man-in-the-middle tactics. Not creating a security policy. It's difficult for a business to prove that data security is a top priority if they don't have a documented data security policy in place. In the event of a breach, one of the first things that the mandatory forensic audit will review is the company's data security policy. Not updating point-of-sale systems. Just like outdated software, old point-of-sale systems are susceptible to hackers. They have had the time to become intimately familiar with all the vulnerabilities and loopholes, thereby allowing them access to credit card data and other valuable information in the system. Unlike using an outdated or unpatched version of Microsoft Windows, business owners using outdated or unpatched point-of-sale systems are subject to major fines. If a data breach occurs, the forensic audit will find outdated point-of-sale software. If this happens, it may then be very difficult to regain customer trust or to convince credit card companies to allow you to handle transactions. Not providing locks for devices. Sometimes, data theft happens the old-fashioned way. Someone just flat-out steals a device. Businesses are susceptible to theft when they don't do the following. Register devices with manufacturers and activate tracking. Provide keys and lockable cabinets for storing devices at the end of the day. Lock all office doors when not being used and at the end of the day. Provide carrying bags for all employee devices. And train employees on theft prevention strategies. And finally, poor bring-your-own-device policies. Bring-your-own-device, or BYOD, is becoming more common among businesses that have multiple employees. Unfortunately, poorly structured BYOD policies leave doors open for hackers and data breaches. BYOD policies that don't have guidelines for software updates, IT support, and encrypted data options can expose businesses to some major vulnerabilities. I've run out of time. I'll have to continue this on next week's edition. If you'd like more information about this show or any past Score Business Point show, you may email me at svp@wbnj.org. That's svp@wbnj.org. If you have a topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or comments about this show or past shows, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They have been doing this for over 50 years. Because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA, and thanks to a network of 11,000-plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information about how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit OceanCounty.score.org. OceanCounty.score.org. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at WBNJ.org. Score Business Points is a production of the Ocean County Chapter of SCORE at 91.9 WBNJ.